If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 37. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I want to bring you a message, the last message of this week, but I want to bring you the message tonight entitled, America, What Has Happened? America, What Has Happened? Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that every one of us here, from the oldest to the youngest, would pay close attention to what we're about to preach. I pray that we would understand tonight that this country is in great trouble. And unless we as dads and mothers and Christians are willing to step up and do something, we're not only going to lose this nation, but we're also going to lose our families. And so, Lord, tonight I pray that you would give me liberty, give me the words to say. Lord, I pray that once again, you might help to make me a blessing and an encouragement. But Lord, at the same time, I pray that the Holy Spirit might have His way in every one of our hearts and lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, so often we sit around and we talk about how it used to be. In fact, as you get older, I know when I get around my kids, as you get older, we often use this phrase when we start talking. We talk about what we call the good old days. When I get around my kids and we're talking and everything, and inevitably one of my kids will say something, and it will just bring to mind something that I did in years past, and I'll tell my kids, you know, I said, I can remember way back when, during the good old day, and all of a sudden my kids are rolling their eyes and they're saying, oh, here he goes again. You know what? I can remember when we used to walk to school 10 miles one way, 10 miles back home the other way, and it was uphill both ways. Amen? Remember those days? I can remember when it was 30 degrees below zero. Now, you don't have that down here in Texas. You only have that up there where real men live. Amen? But I can remember when it was 30 degrees below zero, there was 30 inches of snow, and we still had school. And we didn't have school buses back in my day. Remember how it used to be? The good old days. Now, the truth of the matter is, the freedoms that we enjoy today, you ever stop and think about this? We didn't purchase. Somebody else did. Somebody else went before us and paid the price so that we could enjoy what we have today. But as I look at America tonight, I have to ask myself, what in the world has happened to America? As I look at America tonight, I think I'm pretty normal. But I look at my family and I ask myself the question, what's going to happen to my children someday? You ever worry about that? What's going to happen to my grandbabies someday? What's going to happen to the kids in this church? Now, last message, I don't want to stand up here tonight and preach a message that'll make you feel bad. In fact, I'll tell you what, it's a great day to be alive. I don't believe there's any better day to be alive. I believe that God is looking at not only to use individuals, but I believe that God is looking to also use churches in a great and a mighty way. But having said that, I'm going to say this. If Jesus doesn't come back soon, and if America keeps on going down the road that she's going down for the next 25 or 30 years, have you ever wondered where we're going to be? Kind of scary, isn't it? We sing the song, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing." Have you ever considered the last stanza of that song? "Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might." Get this. "Great God, our King." At one time in America, we could sing that song, and it was true. But as I look at America tonight, what in the world has happened to our country? Now, it's interesting. We come here to Matthew chapter 23, and we find that Jesus had just finished preaching a hot message. And it's interesting who He preached this message to. He didn't preach this message to what we call the quote-unquote non-religious crowd. He preached it to what we would call the quote-unquote the religious crowd, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And then after Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, and also over in Luke chapter 13 and verse 34, the Bible tells us that Jesus begins to lament, or He begins to weep over the nation. He says this, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." This was the capital of the nation. "When you said Jerusalem, you thought about Israel. You thought about God's chosen people." In Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, as Jesus approached the city at the triumphal entry, the Bible says this, that when He was come near, He beheld the city and He wept over it. Now, it's not hard to understand why. The Bible tells us that He came as their Savior and He was rejected. These were His people. At one time, Israel was a great nation. At one time, Israel was a nation that loved God and feared God. Hey, by the way, can you imagine what Israel would be tonight if she had simply obeyed God? It's almost scary, isn't it? But now, as He looks out over Jerusalem, He sees a nation, He sees a city, He sees a people that instead of loving God, instead of fearing God, instead of obeying God, He now sees a people that hates the things of God. He sees a nation that laughs and mocks and scorns the things of God. He sees a nation that hates spiritual things so much that it would stone and kill the ones that He sends to help it. And as Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, I can almost imagine in His mind Him thinking, "What once made you such a good nation? What once made you a great nation? What once made you such a blessed nation? Now you hate those things so much that you would kill the very one who made you great." Now let me ask you a question tonight, friend. Do you see a parallel tonight? You know what? America isn't much different, is it? I believe with all my heart, and I believe I have history on my side to prove it, but America was a nation, I believe this, was a nation that was raised up by God. America at one time was a great nation. It was a nation that loved God. It was a nation that feared God. And now tonight, as we sit here, we are living in a nation that has turned her back on God and hates the things that made her great. I don't know about you, but when I think about America, I have mixed feelings. You say, "Preacher, are you proud to be an American?" Man, I am proud to be. I wouldn't be anything but an American. When I think about America past, it makes me proud. But when I look at America present, it makes me ashamed. What in the world has happened to America? Have you ever considered just how far this once great nation is going downhill? You know what? Sometimes we as Christians, sometimes we never realize just how far our nation is going downhill until somebody gets up and waves a red flag and reminds us of what we once had and where we're at tonight. Do you know what? I can remember a day, and some of you here are old enough, some of you here aren't old enough, but I'll tell you what. I can remember a day in America when the Star Spangled Banner was played. I don't care if you were at a public function. I don't care if you were at a private function. But when the Star Spangled Banner was played, everybody in that audience stood to their feet. Everybody locked their heels. Everybody looked away at Old Glory. Everybody put their hand over their heart. And everybody, no exceptions to the rule, everybody sung away. I remember a day like that in America. I can remember a day in America when on a hot summer night, you could leave your door open all night long so the summer breeze could blow through the house. I can remember a day in America. My last couple years, I went to public high school. And I can remember a day in America. Now think about this. When in public high school, we opened up the day, are you ready for this? With the pledge of the flag, Bible reading, prayer, we did it over the loudspeaker, and everybody, even the teachers, participated in that. I can remember a day in America when children, 6 and 7 and 8 years of age, could ride their bike several blocks to the other side of town. They could spend a nickel at the candy store and their parents never had to worry about them. I remember a day like that in America. You know what? I can remember we really did do this, kids. I can remember a day in America when we really did walk 2 and 3 miles to school. Back home again, we'd get there safely. Listen, we would do that in first and second and third grade, and our parents never had to worry about us. I can remember as a little boy, I can remember a day in America as a little boy when TV had no sex. It had no foul language. And the good guys always won, and the bad guys were always caught and always punished. I can remember a day in America when kids were obedient and they respected their parents and we didn't have to make laws like we make now in Georgia and Alabama that require kids to say yes ma'am and yes sir. I can remember a day in America, and you know what? I'm getting into more and more churches where parents don't like to hear what I'm about to say. I can remember a day in America when parents, even unsaved people, spanked their children to discipline them and instruct them. I can remember a day in schools when teachers had absolute authority. And every teacher had their own customized paddle. You remember those days? They bored holes in them to cut down on the wind resistance, huh? I know, I broke every one of them in. I can remember a day in America when church was a part of America's culture. Not everybody was saved, but most everybody went to church. I can remember a day in America when the word homosexuality was an unheard of term. And anybody that was one stayed in the closet in shame. Hey, you wanna get an idea of just how far this country's going downhill? I can remember when I was about 5 or 6 years of age. I can remember when my grandmother used to come over to our house. When she'd go out shopping or something, she'd come over to our house. And I would always ask my grandma, did you have a good time today? And my grandmother would always say this, oh, Bill, I had a gay old time. You remember that word? When my grandmother got happy, she'd walk around the house and she'd say, oh, I'm so gay. Now, you want to see how far we've gone downhill? I'm going to make you a guarantee. If I don't walk in here after taking that plane flight on Friday to preach in the graduation, and Brother Harvey met me at the airport, and we walked up, and Brother Harvey said, "How you doing, Brother Behrens?" And I'd have said, "Oh, preacher, I'm so gay. I tell you what, we wouldn't have had no meeting this week." Folks, let me tell you something. We have had that word stolen from us. That's how far this nation has gone downhill in the last 20 or 25 years. I can remember a day in America when women, when mothers were the cornerstone of the family and they weren't out lobbying for the ERA or to become combat soldiers. I remember a day like that. I can remember a day in America when gambling was done in the back rooms of stores and behind closed doors. And anybody, I mean anybody, that was associated with gambling was also associated with shady or unsavory characters. And you stayed away from them. I can remember a day in America when criminals were put on the defensive and victims had rights. By the way, you know what? This may surprise some of you a little bit younger. But you know what? I can actually remember a day in America when if a man was convicted in America of rape, he was also convicted of a capital crime, and he went to the electric chair. I remember a day like that. I can remember a day in America when it was right to have children. You look forward to it. You look forward to raising them. You look forward to loving them. I remember a day in America when alcoholism was a sin and not a disease. I can also remember a day in America when the President of the United States was a hero because of what he did during the war. We'll get back to that in a minute. I can remember a day in America when divorce was an ugly word. And you didn't hear very much in America about divorced families. You didn't. I can remember, he just got done parking there just a minute ago and stole some of my thunder. I can remember a day in America when Sunday was the Lord's Day. And we didn't have garbage like the Super Bowl and all that junk. Businesses were closed up on Sunday. By the way, how many remember what we call the blue laws? Now listen to me. Some of you look on blue. Let me tell you something. You know what the blue law? The blue laws, get this, were laws, think about this, that were made up by unsaved politicians that said, you will not do business on Sunday because Sunday is... You know what? Back in my day, unsaved politicians had more sense than a lot of Christians. I remember what America was once like. I remember what basically made her good and made her great. And my question, what in the world has happened to America? Folks, let me tell you something. Who in the world would have ever dreamed that a court in this nation would ever rule that one nation under God in the Pledge to the Allegiance would be unconstitutional? Who'd have ever dreamed that in our lifetime? You say, well, Brother Behrens, they'll overturn that. They may overturn it, but listen, the very fact they did it ought to show you where our nation is at tonight. Hey, don't even think about leaving your doors unlocked or open, even in the daytime in America now, huh? We've taken God and we've thrown God out of our schools and we've replaced God with humanism. And now today we worship the creature more than we worship the Creator. We bow down and we place more importance over salamanders and the spotted owl and trees and all this than we do on the God that created. You know what's interesting? Right after September the 11th, when President Bush declared that National Day of Prayer. You remember that? You could pray everywhere in the nation, but where? In our public school system. There's nobody in their right mind that would send a young child to the store alone anymore. In fact, you want to see how bad off we are in America? Listen, all you got to do, you get in your car tomorrow, and you drive your car, and you park that car outside of any public school in America. And you know what you're going to see? You are going to see dads and mothers literally by the dozens walking and driving their children to school for fear a pervert will snatch them off the street. That's the America we live in. TV today. Oh! You know how I describe TV? And a lot of people don't like this in a lot of churches. It gets real quiet. TV today, you know what it is? It's pornography. It's godlessness. It's profanity. It's wickedness. It's lull. And by the way, it's promoted on every channel. And so many Christians today, even we pay to have it piped in. Legalized gambling. Isn't that what we call it? Legalized gambling. They advertise it on the radio, TV, billboards. It's not associated with shady characters or unsavory characters anymore. They tell you where to go. They tell you how to do it. And you know what? You can go to almost any gas station in America today and you can play what we call lotto. And Americans buy the millions are spending their food money and their retirement money on gambling. You want to spank a kid? You better watch where you spank them. You spank your kid today in America in the wrong place and the wrong person sees him, you're going to lose that kid. I was preaching a meeting not too long ago out on the West Coast. That's the left coast. Amen? And the preacher and I, we went out to a Denny's to eat. And we were sitting there in that Denny's, and they sat us right next to this young couple that had she was about a 5 or 6, I want to call her a little girl, but she wasn't a little girl, she was a barbarian. And it got so bad, 5, 6 year old, it got so bad that finally the manager had to come over and tell them they're going to have to leave if they couldn't come. And finally the mother reached over there and she tried to calm that little girl down. And when the mother just touched that little girl yanked her arm away and she looked at that mother. I'm watching the whole thing. She looked at that mother and she says, "I hate you. I want to kill you." Now, I kind of wanted to reach out and touch that little girl. But if that mother had done anything to that little barbarian, that little brat, they'd have lost. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Man, I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you something. I better watch out. Amen. I get all worked up here. I'm going to tell you something. Our kids today, they don't need a shot of Ritalin. They need a shot in the rear end. And it would take care of a lot of our problems, a lot of our juvenile delinquency, a lot of our brats that we even have running around in a lot of our churches. It would. It would. The idea of child discipline, the idea of, you know what, it's almost an unknown word in many of our churches. Before President Bush got elected, for the 8 years prior to that, our children, your children, looked up to a sorry, womanizing, pot-smoking, draft-dodging, no-character president that ran to Russia during the war. You say you're awful hard on them. That's the good things I think about them. You don't want to know. Hey, that was our commander-in-chief. Who would have ever dreamed in the 40s and 50s and 60s and even 70s that we would end up in America with a commander-in-chief like that? In America today, we live in what I call a throwaway society. We live in a day and age where if we don't want to raise our kids, if we don't want to love them anymore, if it hinders our lifestyle, we get rid of them. And we murder babies by the millions. America today has absolutely nothing on Nazi Germany. Nothing. I heard somebody say not too long ago, grandchildren are a reward for not killing your children. I like that. I get my grandbabies over. I spoil them to death. Throw them back out the door. Amen. Now, I'm not literally, but I, man, there's nothing like being a grandpa. Amen. There isn't. Boy, I love being a grandpa. We live in a country today where going to church is a nuisance. It hinders our lifestyle. And you know what? We're lucky. We're lucky if most people go to church twice a year. We call them C&E Christians, Christmas and Easter. And when they come out, their attitude is this: God better be glad I come out twice a year. That's their attitude. Folks, listen. What in the world has happened to America? I was born in 1947. Now, I know I don't look that old. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate that. I was born in 1947. This is the year 2003. Now, I say that to say this. When I look at how America was even back then as a young boy, and then I look at where we're at tonight, you know what? It's almost like I'm living in a foreign country. We are a nation in chaos. Listen to me, just like Jerusalem was. Jerusalem, you wouldn't hear the prophets. You wouldn't hear the preaching. You hated spiritual truths. Now, there's a reason why I preach this tonight. Take a look at Matthew chapter 23 and look at verse 38. Notice verse 38. Notice what he says. Behold, what are those next two words? Your house. Your house is left unto you desolate. Folks, let me tell you something. Sometimes we don't like to hear this, but it's the truth. Most of the problems that we're having in America today, you know where those problems lie? God says not with the sodomites, not with the God-haters, not with the perverts, not even with the politicians. It's with God's people. It's with you and me, who over the years we have become lazy. We have become complacent. We have ignored sin. And many times we've even participated in that sin. And the same thing that has happened to Jerusalem is happening to us. Our house is left unto us desolate. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen, if we let this slide continue, then Bible Christianity as we know it tonight is going to cease to exist. Is that the type of nation you want your kids to be raised in someday? Is this the type of country that you want your grandbabies to be raised in someday? I don't know about you. And I understand I'm only one person. But I tell you what, even though I'm only one, I want God to use me in such a way that I might be able to make an impact on this country so that my children and my grandchildren have more time to live for God. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, if you don't do something, the Bill Clintons will. If you don't do something, the Barney Franks will. You say, who's Barney Frank? That's that homosexual in the House of Representatives from Massachusetts. And he's openly queer. If you don't do something, the Ted Kennedys and the Jane Fondas will, and we are going to lose this nation, and a lot of people are going to lose their children. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, how does it start out? If them people, No, if what? My people, which are called by my name. You see, we're the ones that ultimately make a difference in our country. We talk about all the things that we're going to stand in front of God and we're going to answer to God for someday. I believe one of the great things that we're going to answer to God for someday is our nation. And it's our time. It's a great responsibility, but I'll tell you what, it's a tremendous opportunity also. I said at the beginning of my message that somebody went before us and paid the price so that we could enjoy what we have today. Folks, think about this. If the next generation that's coming behind us is going to be able to enjoy the same freedoms and liberties and everything, who do you think is going to have to pay the price today? During World War II, there was a little island. It was the furthest east of the Japanese outpost on the Gilbert Islands. It was a small island during World War II. It was only about it was only about 2 miles long. It was only a couple hundred yards wide at its widest. The name of that island during the out in the Pacific during World War II, the name of that island was called Tarawa. On the early morning hours of November the 20th, 1943, the Marines of the 2nd Marine Division assaulted that island. In the early morning hours, they climbed over the ropes of those boats and they got down into the Higgins boats. You've probably seen pictures of those. Those Higgins boats were the ones where the ramps dropped down in the front and they stormed the beaches. But those young Marines climbed down those boats. They loaded in those Higgins boats and they lined up in the first wave of that assault formation. And they started to make their way in. The Japanese knew that they were coming in. The Japanese had literally spent years and years and years building those fortifications. When they found out that we were going to assault that island, they said this. They said a million Marines couldn't take that island in 1,000 years. That's how heavy the fortifications were. They lined up in that assault wave and the horns went off in the ships and those assault waves started coming in. And when they got about 500 yards offshore, all of a sudden they began to realize that somebody made a terrible, tragic mistake. They realized that somebody had misread the tidal charts. And the closest they could get in was about 500 yards because of the reefs. And so what they had to do was they had to drop those ramps. And those young men had to step out into chest-deep water, rifles held over their heads, into unbelievable withering machine gun fire. Before they even got into the beach, over 1,000 young men were killed. 1,000 young men, 18, 19, 20 years of age, that would never go home again. They'd never see another birthday. They'd never go back home to a dad or a mother or a family. They'd never celebrate another Thanksgiving. 1,000 young men. It took them 3 days to take the island. Horrible casualties. The fourth day, one day after they took the island, a famous Marine Corps general by the name of Howland Mad Smith came in to tour the island. He rode in on a Higgins boat. They dropped the ramp. They still had not had time to even take the bodies out of the surf. There were still hundreds of bodies bobbing up and down the surf, hundreds of bodies littering the beachhead. He stepped out. He took a look at the unbelievable carnage. Bodies everywhere. Devastation everywhere. He took a look at what those men had to assault, what they had to do to take over those fortifications. And he turned to one of his aides and he said this, "How did we do it? How did we do it?" And those words no sooner came off of his lips when just off to his right, he noticed the bullet-riddled body of a dead Marine that was still clutching in both of his hands what we call a beach marker or a beach flag. Those men were the first ones to hit the beach. And they planted what we call beach markers or beach flags, and that is the sign to show that those that are following behind them, follow me. You land here. Follow in my footsteps. And when he saw the ultimate sacrifice that that young man paid for those that were coming in behind him, with tears streaming down his cheeks, he said, "With men like this, how could we lose?" You know, I look out here tonight, and I see dads, I see mothers, I see grandmothers, I see grandpas. I look out here tonight and I see a lot of young kids. Dads and mothers, grandma and grandpa, do you know what you're doing? As you live your life, you're planting the beach markers for those that are following behind you. Those little boys, those little girls, the ones that I'm looking at right now, these little boys, these little girls here, you know what? Listen, in their little childlike mind, as they're growing up, as they're living in your home, you know what they're saying? If I just follow Daddy and Mommy, everything will be okay. Surely Daddy and Mommy, they wouldn't lead me in the wrong direction. Let me ask you a question tonight, Dad and Mom. What kind of beach markers are you planting? Are you serving God full tilt? Have you given everything over to God? Are you planting the right kind of a beach marker for these precious little children that are following behind you? I said earlier, grandmas and grandpas. I'm a grandpa. You know what? Sad to say, and I think you understand what I'm about to say here, sad to say, sometimes the only hope a little kid has is a faithful grandparent, a godly grandparent that is serving the Lord. Sometimes for a little kid, that's the only hope. My kids are all serving the Lord, but I'll tell you this. As my kids are serving the Lord, I realize that as a grandpa, I can be a tremendous encouragement to my kids by grandpa still serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you again, dads, mothers, grandma, grandpa, what kind of beach markers are you planting for the generation that's following in your footsteps? What are you doing so that our children and our grandchildren can grow up someday, and they can enjoy the same liberties, they can enjoy the same freedoms, but most importantly, they have the opportunity to worship and know the same God that you and I know tonight. God help every one of us in here to plant the right beach markers as dads and mothers and grandparents for that generation that's following in our footsteps.